For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you with open hearts, ready to hear from you today. We ask, Lord, that you do speak to us today, Lord, and show us things from the Word of God to help us to grow in faith, Lord. And thank you for meeting our every needs, for helping us and for developing us, Lord, into people you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. We're looking at developing great faith today. Let's start off with Matthew chapter 8. And we'll start reading from verse 5 in Matthew chapter 8. So Matthew chapter 8, and we'll start reading from verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say, to this man go, and he goeth, and to another come, and he cometh, and to my servant do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marvelled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So the reason that the Lord said this, and in verse 13 we'll have a look what happened, and Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. The reason the Lord said this and called this man's faith great was because he believed the word and acted in faith. He did not have to see the results. He did not even have to see anything. He knew that the word spoken by Christ was enough to get that man healed. So he knew that the word of God was enough to heal. It is. The word of God is enough to do it. The word of God has power and authority. And this man here in verse 9, when he was saying that his word has power and authority for the people under him, showed that he understood that the word of God has authority, and that all Jesus had to do was say the word and the man would be healed. Christ's word alone was enough for this man to believe and act on the power of God. And Jesus saw that, and he called that great faith. So what Christ considers to be great faith is that when a person hears the word, recognizes the authority of the word of God, and acts on it. The Lord says, he calls that great faith. That we don't even have to see the results right now. And yet we know that the will of God is done. The will of God will be shown in the circumstances. The Lord calls that faith. That's great faith. Believing the word, believing what God has said and acting on it. It's recognizing the power of God, recognizing his power and his ability to act in our lives. And that's what this man did, coming to the Lord in the first place. He came to the Lord for help. He came to the right place, the right source, because coming to God is where the healing is. It's where the change is with God. And the Lord showed his will when he said in verse 7, I will come and heal him. The Lord was ready. He was going to come and heal that man. But the centurion showed that he didn't need Jesus to come right into the place and put his hands on the man. All he said, all he needed to do was hear the word, and that was enough. Heard the word, and that was enough. Because he recognized the authority of the word of God, the power that God's words held. So that was great faith, believing in the word of God and acting on it. If we go over to Matthew 15, and let's start reading at verse 21 in Matthew 15. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now that is an example of faith. For this woman who was not an Israelite, who the Israelites had the covenant with God, she was a woman outside of covenant, and yet recognized that he was the true God. He had the power to heal, and came to him for healing for her daughter, because she knew that the power was with God. The Lord showed that she was not a person of covenant. The word had not been sent to those, only to the Israelites. And yet, she was tenacious with the Lord. She was tenacious and said that she was ready, because she had received the crumb of truth. She heard of Christ and knew that the power was with him. And the Lord responded to her faith, because she took what she wanted and what she needed from the Lord. And he is the God of all people. So if anyone comes to him in faith, true faith, he's not going to turn them away. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. That is great faith. When you know the power is with God, and you know that if you come to him in faith, he will respond to you. He will respond to you because he loves you. He loves you. So this woman believed Christ, and she had great faith in his mercy. And he said that, "Great is thy faith. Great is thy faith." That's great faith. So these are examples that we can look at of great faith, where people knew the power was with God, and they knew that if they came to God, they came to him and received the word given to them, the will of God would be done. That is great faith. And the Lord values that type of faith. That type of faith, when you act in a believing way and take what you want in a believing way from the Lord, based on his word, based on you know what to be true about God, he values that. He looks on that in a good way when a person acts in faith. And as you see from these scriptures, the power of God comes into the person's life to bring about change, because he doesn't turn a person away who comes to him in genuine faith. The power of God becomes apparent in their life. We've been given the measure of faith, the scripture says, as Christians. We have faith. We can act in faith about the things in our life too. And we know that when we believe, when we put our faith in the word, when we put our faith in God, that he does not hold back his power from us. We saw that here, even in this woman who was without covenant. He does not hold his power back when we come to him in faith. How much more for us who are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So he wants us to be taking what we want with faith, using our faith, taking what we need with faith. So the example these people gave was that they came to the Lord. They took what they needed. They sought the help of the Lord. And the Lord says that is great faith. That is great faith. Some people act in different degrees of faith. Some people have a little faith, and yet that can grow. The little faith, even a little faith, if you use it, start to put it to work, it can grow. Because the Lord, he shows himself to be true, he shows himself to be faithful. Your faith will not be ashamed, the scripture says. You will not be ashamed when you use your faith in him. So there are different degrees of faith. Have a look back into Matthew 8 again. And let's read from verse 23. Matthew 8 and verse 23. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." And he saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So here, even the disciples at this point had little faith. Jesus called the faith little. O ye of little faith, ye of little faith. So the faith can be little. The faith can be little as well, but it can increase. It can increase. At least they woke up the Lord. They knew who to go to. They knew who to go to. The best thing for them would have been is to get up and rebuke the storm themselves. And have confidence in the will of God to go to the other side. But they didn't. So the Lord said their faith was little. They did have little faith. At least they had faith in Christ to help them. They had faith in Him to help them before He rebuked the storm. So while He was asleep, their faith was, if we go and get the help, we need the Lord's help. We need the Lord's help. Lord, save us, they said. So they had little faith, but at least they had faith enough to go and wake the Lord up for His help. Have a look in Mark 4, verses 39 and 40. Mark 4, verses 39 and 40. And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? So you see here, it's possible for people to have no faith. It can sometimes be that people have no faith, or they have little faith. Or they have great faith. Faith can be developed. And here, now the disciples, the Lord said, we read before, that they had little faith. They had little faith, but that little faith at least was in Christ to help them. They had no faith. The Lord said they had no faith to combat the situation themselves. They had no faith that the situation, if they had have acted on it in faith themselves, they would have got to the other side. There was no faith for that. So that's why the Lord said, why is it that ye have no faith? But at least they had a little faith in the Lord to help them. So that's the same for us. Sometimes people can have no faith about a situation, and yet they can have a little faith about something else. But God wants us to grow in faith. In all things, He wants us to have faith. He doesn't want there to be a situation in our lives where we have no faith about something. He wants us, He's given us the measure of faith in our hearts. He wants us to use it. So He wants us to apply it to the situations in our life. And some people in certain situations, they have no faith there. There's no faith there to act about it. And yet that can change. That can change because it's all you need. A little faith. Just get it started. Get it working. Get it working. And it can grow. It can grow. And one thing that's essential for our faith to grow, this you cannot grow your faith without this, is to study the Word of God. Study the Word of God. That is the food for faith. Faith cannot grow without the Word, because faith has to be based on something. It has to be anchored onto something. And what it's based on is the Word. So you cannot grow faith. We cannot grow our faith without studying the Word of God. Have a look in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, which says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So God's word to us is to study the word of God as a workman. Study the word of God so that when we know the word of God and it's rightly divided in our hearts, we act on it and we will not be ashamed. We need us not be ashamed. We need us not to be ashamed because we have the word. And when we act on it in faith, it never fails. Never will. Never will. If you put your faith on the word and keep it there, don't let it crumble or disintegrate, but keep it on the word of God, it will never fail. Never. Never fail. He tells us to study. So study to know what the word says, so that we are able to use it. This is essential. If we're going to grow our faith and use our faith, it has to be based on the word. The word spoken out, the word acted on. Our faith is based on the word. The faith is the force. It uses the word. Our faith, the faith comes out of our hearts. And it connects with the word, mixes with the word, and comes forth. We act on it and we speak it, and that's when it brings about change. That's when things start to happen, because God, the power of God comes into effect then. He upholds his word. He upholds his word. He brings his word to pass, the scripture says. So for the person acting faith on it, then God is in the situation, acting on his word, responding to our faith. So it will not fail, but we have to study the word. We have to know what actually the word says about it to act in faith. Have a look in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." That's revealing to us the power of God's word. The scripture says it is the sword of the Spirit. So that's why the Lord tells us to study it, because it is the sword of the Spirit. It's a powerful thing that has the power to change circumstances, to change us. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is a weapon that we have to know. We have to use it. We have to use it in a way to bring about change. As an offensive thing, what I mean is a weapon, an offensive weapon, to bring about change in our situations. So the word is the sword of the Spirit to bring about change for us. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, which says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So there will not be development in faith without the word of God. Our faith needs the word. Our faith comes by hearing the word of God. Our faith comes by hearing the word of God. It has to be heard. It has to be heard. And that means really heard, properly heard. Faith comes by hearing the word. And what that means is that it actually goes into our hearts and goes into our hearts and starts to get processed in there. Our faith comes by hearing the word of God. That will grow the faith. That will grow our faith. That's what our faith needs to grow, is the word. Those two work together. The faith and the word. So we have to study the word. We have to study the word of God and hear it for our faith to be developed, for our faith to grow. We have to study it. And we have to base it upon the word of God. Our faith has to be based on the word of God. Our faith can't be based on something else. It can't be based on another thing and then expect the power of God to come into effect. It's got to be based on what God is backing, what the power of God. It's got to be based on the word of God. So we can't base our faith on some other thing beside the word of God and expect God's will and power to be bringing about good changes in our life, because it has to be based on his word. That's what he has given us, his word. He's put it into the earth. He's put his power on it. It is his word. And that's what he backs and holds up and brings to pass, is the word of God. Have a look in Hebrews 4:2. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, which says, For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So those two things, they've got to be working together. The word has to be mixed with our faith. The word has to be mixed with our faith. The word can come forth, and yet unless people put their faith on it, it won't profit them. So you see, faith without the word is ineffectual. The word without the faith will not profit a person. Those two have to work together. The word comes forth. You have to hear it. We have to hear it. And we have to put our faith on it, because they just work together. They work together, the word and faith. So if you're a person of faith, you have to keep yourself fed with the word. Hearing the word, looking at the word, studying the word, studying the word. You've got to read it, you've got to know it, you've got to study it, you have to hear it. Because they work together. They work together. They work together. And when you keep your faith on the word of God, it doesn't fail. It doesn't fail. It doesn't fail. When you keep your faith on the word, it doesn't fail. It doesn't fail. So the faith and the word have to be mixed. If you're going to grow great faith, develop great faith, you have to use your faith consistently. Consistently. It has to be used like any other thing that you want to develop and grow. You have to keep using your faith like a skill. You've got to use it. You've got to use your faith. Hebrews 5:14, let's have a look. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you see, you've got to use the faith. Constant use makes faith strong. Constant use of it makes it strong. Makes it strong. The faith, you start off just... start off with the little things, faith for the little things. And you'll see it works. And your faith grows until you can get to the point where you're believing for much bigger things. Because Because you know God loves you and that he honours your faith, that he upholds his word for you, that when you act in faith, you won't be ashamed, the scripture says. We will not be ashamed in him. So his strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. So he's talking about being mature as a Christian and having the strong meat, which is the word of God, the things of faith that are in the word. The strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So it has to be used. You have to exercise your faith. You've got to use it. You have to use it. Use it. Even if you start off using it for a little thing, you've got to use it so that it can develop. And let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Which says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So he's talking about consistency. You've got to preach the word and you be instant in season, out of season. You be consistent in it. Don't do it just for a season and then stop. Be consistent in it, preaching the word, even preaching it to yourself. You've got to be consistent in it. You preach it. You preach it with all long-suffering and doctrine. So we have to be consistent in season and out of season, speaking the word of God when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. You just keep doing it. You just keep doing it. And let's go over to Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23, Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You have to say the word. You have to speak to the mountain. Whatever that mountain is, we have to talk to it and speak out the word of God. Actually cast it out. Cast it out. And actually speak to it. Speak to it. That's using faith. You have to speak the word to it. Speak the word to it. You may not see it disappear instantly, but you've got to know, you've got to believe and have faith that in the spirit it's dealt with. It's dealt with. And you be consistent with speaking the word forth. You'll see the situation change and you'll see that mountain go. It'll just diminish. If you're consistent on it, you've got to be consistent on it, whatever that mountain is. And the mountain is obviously anything that's causing a problem for us, that's not God's will, that's causing us problems. That's the mountain. So we have to be consistent. We have to be consistent with using our faith. And importantly also, we have to have fellowship, regular fellowship with the Lord through prayer. We have to be people who have that fellowship with God. We have to spend time in the presence of God. We have to spend time in His presence. This is important. We can't neglect to pray. We have to be people who pray to God. We have to pray to Him. Ephesians 6:18. Let's finish with this one. Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. God sees prayer as a priority. He sees prayer as important. So that's why He said praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Prayer needs to be a priority for us. We have to be people who come and spend time in the presence of God. We have to be people who pray to Him. We can't neglect that, because we won't be as spiritually attuned to God to hear Him. When He's talking to us. And also, we can't carry around these things on our own. We're not equipped for that. We have to pray to Him. Ask for His help. Give Him worship and praise and thanksgiving, which helps us immeasurably to give praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Praise and thanksgiving to Him. So we have to be people who pray and not neglect that, but develop that. These things are necessary for us to develop great faith. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You. We thank You, Lord, for the Word. We thank You, Lord, for Your faithfulness and Your strength, and we believe You. We thank You that You are a good God. We thank You for loving us. We thank You, Lord, for Your goodwill towards us. And we bless Your name in Jesus' name. And we wait upon the Holy Ghost.